Welcome to another edition of the Midweek DP. I'm Steve Benson, and don't you forget, nothing you're about to hear is true. In the wake of the recent legislation, Paul and I have decided that, unfortunately, we can no longer do business in the state of Indiana. And so it's with a heavy heart, but peace of mind, that we announce that this is our last broadcast. The Don't Panic podcast will not continue. In its place, we plan to play covers of Bee Gees tunes from the 80s and 90s. Non-stop. And happy April Fool's Day, my favorite holiday of the year. And, by the way, your shoe is untied. Oh, that's a good one. Well, all seriousness aside, I do want to address the recent hoopla over the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. But I'm going to take a little bit of a different angle. I know you're all sick of hearing about it, talking about it. So, you know, my thoughts on the topic are well documented. If you go to my Facebook page, if you listen to the last couple of Don't Panic broadcasts, you know how I feel about the matter. That's not what I'm going to talk about today. What I'm going to talk about today in this week's Midweek DP is the great Facebook war of 2015. And as with most wars, the triggering event will not be long remembered outside of academic treatments and textbooks. And as with all wars, there were no winners, only casualties and burning embers that stand a good chance of kindling future wars. There are many of us that take the time to understand the position of our enemies. All that matters is that they're our enemy and they must be defeated. To understand the enemy's viewpoint would be to grant it the right to exist. If a view has a right to exist, then it must have some level of validity. Because if it doesn't, then the enemy may have some claim to grievance. In other words, by stopping to try to understand our opponent's viewpoint, we are in some way admitting to ourselves that they may have a point. They stand a chance. There's some small, minute possibility that they might just have a point or something that we can learn from them. And if that's true, then we might not be 100% correct. And if I'm not 100% correct, my God, I might be a little bit wrong. And if I'm a little bit wrong, then what is it all about anyway? I might get kicked out of the tribe. So here's the rub. And let's get back to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, RFRA. Supporters cannot imagine why there's such a backlash unless those who are outraged are anti-Christian. The law, after all, says nothing about homosexuality. The only plausible explanation is that this is just yet another example of liberal pushback against Christian values and morality. Bigotry against those of us who are devout in our faith. On the other hand, opponents of the law are 100% certain that the law was meant as a not-so-subtle way to discriminate against homosexuals. In the wake of two strung-out debates in Indiana about gay marriage, followed by federal courts ruling Indiana's ban on gay marriage illegal, there's no other possible explanation for support of this bill, other than as retribution and as a last-ditch effort to impose their bigoted will. Could both sides be right? Could both sides be wrong? Is the truth maybe, I don't know, possibly, somewhere in the middle? Consider the following two statements. And if you follow me on Facebook, they will sound a little bit familiar. Number one, I am so happy that the Indiana RFRA was passed. Those who oppose this needed law do not understand how alienated the Christian community feels about their vile attacks on our basic values. Mike Pence is a hero, and so are those who support him. I applaud him for what he is causing for our state. You relate to that? Does that resonate with you? Does it make you mad? All right. Number two. I am so angry that the Indiana RFRA was passed. Those who support this discriminatory law do not understand how alienated the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community feels about their vile attacks on our basic values. Mike Pence is a bigot, and so are those who support him. I hate him for what he has done and what he's causing for our state. Don't you get it? This is why every election is just a few percentage points apart these days. The, quote, other parties, the Libertarians, the Green Party, the Independents, they can't get more than a few percent because everybody's too afraid of stepping outside of their tribe and being left out on the Serengeti plain to fend for themselves. So it comes down to this. We fight the war so that we will win the war. We support our buddies in the foxhole because that's what a good soldier does. Are we accomplishing something greater? Think about the Confederate soldiers fighting during the American Civil War. How many of them owned slaves? How many of them thought it was right to own slaves? All of them? Were they willing to fight and die for the plantation masters, who were the ones that really owned slaves? My father was from the South, and his life was pretty rough. And, you know, he says he was a sharecropper. He worked at the bidding of the owner of the land. How many of those people in the South who were born, you know, less than 100 years before my father, how many of them were living a subsistence life at the will of their plantation masters? Yet they fought and they died on the battlefield. Consider the soldiers in the North, the Union soldiers. How many of them were thinking in their heart of hearts that they were fighting to free the African Americans, the black man, the slaves? And how many of them were actually racist? I saw the movie Glory, and I mean, it's just a movie, but if there's any historical accuracy to it whatsoever, I mean, we saw what seems plausible, which is Union soldiers who didn't dare fight next to a black man. Yet they fought and they died. For what? For a bigger cause? For their buddies standing next to them. So when you go on Facebook and you're fighting and you're dying on Facebook, you're losing friendships. What's it for? Is it really for the bigger picture? Or is it because you're fighting so that your tribe can win? I heard a story once. I think it's true. In fact, the History Channel on history.com has a pretty good description of the incident, and I'm going to read it to you. You can go to history.com and find it. I'll post a link to our Don't Panic Facebook page, but I'm going to read it real quick to you right now. Starting on Christmas Eve, many German and British troops sang Christmas carols to each other across the lines. And at certain points, the Allied soldiers even heard brass bands joining the Germans in their joyous singing. By the way, this is in 1914. During World War I. At the first light of dawn on Christmas Day, some German soldiers emerged from their trenches and approached the Allied lines across no man's land, calling out Merry Christmas in their enemies' native tongues. At first, the Allied soldiers feared it was a trick. But seeing the Germans unarmed, they climbed out of their trenches and shook hands with the enemy soldiers. The men exchanged presents of cigarettes and plum puddings and sang carols and songs. There was even a documented case of soldiers from opposing sides playing a good-natured game of soccer. Some soldiers used this short-lived ceasefire for a more somber task, the retrieval of the bodies of fellow combatants who had fallen within the no-man's land between the lines. This so-called Christmas truce of 1914 came only 5 months after the outbreak of war in Europe, and was one of the last examples of the outdated notion of chivalry between enemies in warfare. It was never repeated. Future attempts at holiday ceasefires were quashed by officers' threats of disciplinary action. But it served as heartening proof, however brief, that beneath the brutal clash of weapons, the soldiers' essential humanity endured. During World War I, the soldiers on the Western Front did not expect to celebrate on the battlefield, but even a world war could not destroy the Christmas spirit. I know every day isn't Christmas, and we're not fighting a world war on Facebook, but in the immortal words of the late Rodney King, can't we all just get along?
Listen to me. Whoa.